Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. You're listening to the Qalam podcast. Alhamdulillah, we here at Qalam are growing, and one of the amazing new additions that we have here at Qalam that you've probably already gotten a chance to listen to is Imam Mikael Smith. Alhamdulillah, Imam Mikael is a phenomenal scholar and imam who teaches full-time at the Qalam Seminary, but also makes time in between to not only conduct this podcast and share this with y'all, but he also teaches really amazing online classes that you can find at QalamConnect.com. That's QalamConnect.com. So inshallah, go to the website, check out the classes. The spring semester just kicked off. People are really excited, having a really great time, learning a lot. Inshallah, check out the courses there, and hopefully you're able to sign up for the upcoming semester. Now, I'm going to let you all get back to the podcast with our beloved and amazing instructor, Imam Mikael Smith, who is teaching a phenomenal, very insightful new class on the rights of companionship and friendship. So listen, enjoy, and share with family and friends. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا مولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم نويت تعلم وتعليم وتذكر وتذكير واستفادة والإفادة. We make our intention to learn and benefit each other, to remind ourselves and remind each other, and we make our intention to give benefit and to benefit ourselves, inshallah ta'ala. We're continuing in our study of Imam Sha'rani rahimahullah's Huquq al-Ikhwa or Huquq al-Ukhuwa, the rights of brotherhood or companionship or friendship. And moving on to the next one, remember the intention here is to preserve the blessing of Ukhuwa, which binds us together through Islam. This Ukhuwa, it has rights. And if we study those, if we learn those, if we preserve them, then we're in a better situation to preserve the brotherhood of our community and fulfill the rights of one another. So the first step of that is to actually study and learn those rights and then to try to apply them, inshallah. Understand them and then apply them, inshallah ta'ala. So moving on to the next one. What number are we on?
30.
MashaAllah. Alhamdulillah. Slowly but surely, right? Alhamdulillah. Number 30, inshallah. وَمِنْ حَقِّ الْأَخْ عَلَى الْأَخْ أَلَّا يَأْكُلْ وَلَا يَشْرَبْ إِذَا وَقَعَ أَخُوهُ فِي مَعْصِيَةٍ أَوْ مِحْنَةٍ حَتَّى يَتُوبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ أَوْ يَخْلِصَهُ مِنْ تِلْكَ الْمِحْنَةِ. He says, the 30th right of one brother on another, or one sister on another sister, is that أَلَّا يَأْكُلْ, they don't eat or they don't drink, إِذَا وَقَعَ أَخُوهُ, when their brother or sister falls into some trial, some hardship, some tribulation, until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala releases them or finds a way out for them out of that difficulty. Out of that difficulty. Brother, some shy, inshallah. Is there any more shy? Inshallah. Pass it back. Jazakallah khair. Imam Sha'rani says, what? The 30th right is what? That Alla yakul wa la yashrab. That a one brother or sister, they don't eat or drink, إِذَا وَقَعَ أَخُوهُ فِي مِحْنَةٍ, when their brother or sister falls into a trial, a tribulation, حَتَّى يَخْلِصَهُ مِنْ تِلْكَ الْمِحْنَةِ, until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings them out of this mihna. Now this is reflective of a prophetic tradition where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he described the ideal brotherhood that should be between us. And it's a very beautiful hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that مَثَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ فِي تَوَادِهِمْ وَتَرَاحُمِهِمْ وَتَعَاتُفِهِمْ مَثَلَ الْجَسَدِ. The relationship between the believers, their love for one another, their mercy and their gentleness, is like the example of one body. إِذَا اشْتَكَى مِنْهُ عُضْوًا, when one of the limbs or a part of the body is afflicted with some difficulty, تَدَاعَ الْجَسَدِ سَائِرَ الْجَسَدِ, the whole body responds with sleeplessness and fever, with sleeplessness and fever, to heal or rectify the problem that's in that one area of the body. So common sense, if one part of the body is hurting, the rest of the body does not ignore that pain and just pretend like it's not a part of us. It has no choice but to use all of its resources, all of its energy, all those red blood cells, rushing to that area to alleviate that pain. And he even said, like the whole body responds with sleeplessness and with fever. The whole body has to go through that difficulty for that one limb. Now, what Imam Sha'rani explains here is that for some reason, well, the reason is clear, but what happens is when we ourselves are in a very, very tough situation, we're not able to eat, we're not able to drink, we're not able to sleep correct, everything is disturbed. When you get in a very tough situation, we know it destroys everything. The best food, it doesn't taste good anymore. You lose all desire to do anything until you're out of that difficulty. And then what happens is when we see others, our brothers, in that same type of situation, it doesn't affect us that way. Our day's normal, it's adi. Someone comes, they tell you, you're like, SubhanAllah, may Allah give you tawfiq, yo. Oh, right? Allah guide you, may Allah give you tawfiq, man. Inshallah. Hey, yo, where are we eating at tonight? Where are we going, yo? You come into, all right, next week come with us. Like, I just told you what I was going through. It had no ta'athir on you. But when you're going through that difficulty, you call, yo, bro, please make dua after salat. Yo, you call everyone up, right? And expect that we expect that response that the hadith explained. That the whole body is going to respond with that sleeplessness, with that fever to solve that thing. And what this comes down to is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's a very interesting connection we can make. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيْلُ لِلْمُتَفِّفِينَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا اكْتَالُوا عَلَى النَّاسِ يَسْتَوْفُونَ وَإِذَا كَالُوهُمْ أَوْ وَزَنُوهُمْ يُخْسِرُونَ. What's this verse about? What are these verses about?
Cheating scales.
What would happen?
When they want to get their fair share, they get everything they want. When they're giving someone else, they'll cut short.
Exactly. Another way to put it is double standards. This verse is clearly about not accepting double standards in the society. But what happens is we expect one thing for ourselves. But when the rest of the ummah is, or brothers, just simple, your brothers that you're dealing with, or sister what you're dealing with, when they're going through difficulties, we don't have that same response that the rest of the, that we expect for our own selves. So in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing that this is a sign of nifaq, of hypocrisy, that one scale of a standard for you and a different standard for other people. And that's exactly what's happening in this situation. So it's something we really need to be aware of. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if we look at him and you look at the hadith, it's absolutely it's just amazing to see how he responded to the difficulties that other people were going through. A lot of times, just through our social media feeds, seeing affliction, seeing hardships, we desensitize ourselves and it becomes adi, right? We get used to seeing trials and tribulations and we lose that sensitivity. But I want to share a few hadith of the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam so you can kind of get an idea of the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's response. Jarir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu, he narrates this very interesting incident. He says that one day, kunna 'inda Rasulillahi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam fi sadr al-nahar. We were with the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the early part of the day when a group of Bedouins came visiting Medina. There's something behind you, like one of those Texas mosquitoes. Why are the bugs so big in Texas?
Everything's big in Texas.
Everything's big in Texas. Okay, cool. All right, alhamdulillah. It's not just me, right? I mean, did anyone else move here and notice like everything got multiplied by like three? I bet you the Facebook, they can see it, like the size of this mosquito. Khair, inshallah. Khair, inshallah. That's a halakha for a different day, inshallah. Khair. Okay, so listen to this hadith. The Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is sitting with the Sahaba and a group of Bedouin came. And the hadith explains, Hufatin Uratun. They had nothing on their feet. They were barely clothed. They were covered in like leopard skins, covering them. And they were hanging their swords. They were looking very rough and had a very obviously clear poverty, signs of poverty on them. And then the Prophet ﷺ, the Sahabi says, فَتَمَعَرَ وَجْهِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ ﷺ. The Rasul ﷺ's face became very red and disturbed when he saw them. This is just this point is something for us to think about for a moment, because seeing the state of these Muslims, seeing the state of these people, we don't even know from the hadith that they were Muslim yet. But it had a deep effect on him so much that everyone looking at him could tell something's wrong with him. تَمَعَرَ وَجْهِ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. So then, فَلَمَّا رَعَى بِهِمْ مِنَ الْفَاقَ, because of the poverty that he saw them going through. فَدَخَلَ. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he got up, he went in his house. فَخَرَجَ. ثُمَّ دَخَلَ. ثُمَّ خَرَجَ. Like, he got up, he went in his house. He came out. Then he goes right back in his house and he comes back out. Like, there's some anxiety, there's some worry. He's trying to do something. So then he makes an announcement. He calls Bilal. He's like, Bilal, make an announcement. Everyone comes. And he gets up and he gives a khutbah. And he starts with this verse, Ya ayyuhan nas ittaqu rabbakum alladhi khalaqakum min nafsin wahida. He starts with this verse, Ya ayyuhan nas, fear the Lord who created you from one soul. Like, remember that you're all coming from the same source. Remember that. And then he tells everyone to give sadaqah, give sadaqah, give sadaqah. And then what happens is, before you know it, the hadith says, people started coming, until there were two piles of clothes and food. And then the hadith says, حَتَّى رَأَيْتُ وَجْهَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ shining. Like, once the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم saw these piles of food and clothes and things like this, all of a sudden the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم's face is just lit with nur, happy that these people's difficulties will be taken care of for this time. So again, Imam Sha'rani rahimahullah ta'ala, let's look at this one again. Imam Sha'rani, he says what? He says that Allah ya'kul wa la yashrab. The right of one brother on another brother is that they themselves are deeply affected by the hardships, so much so that they can't drink, they can't eat when their brother falls into a hardship or a difficulty. Their mind is there. They don't have peace anymore. And when that hatta yakhlisahu min tilka al-mihna, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alleviates that, then they go back to normal. They feel fine again when that person's difficulty is alleviated. Tamtum inshaAllah ta'ala. 5 inshaAllah. 31 inshaAllah. The next one. وَمِنْ حَقِّ الْأَخْ عَلَى الْأَخْ. Number 31. إِذَا تَحَدَّثَ عَنْ يُشَخِّصَ بِبَصْرِهِ إِلَيْهِ حَتَّى يَفْرِغَ مِنْ حَدِيثِهِ فَإِنَّ ذَلِكَ يَزِيدُ فِي الصَّفَاءِ الْمُوَدَّةِ كَمَا أَنَّ تَلَاهِي عَنْ حَدِيثِ الْأَخْ يُرِثُ الْجَفَاءِ. He says, the 31st right of one brother on another brother, or one sister on another brother or sister, is إِذَا تَحَدَّثَ, when he's being spoken to or she's being spoken to, أَن يُشَخِّصَ بِبَصْرِهِ إِلَيْهِ, that they're fully focused on that person that's speaking to them. حَتَّى يَفْرِغَ مِنْ حَدِيثِهِ, until the person is done speaking. And he says, because this will create love. This will create love in the hearts of brothers and sisters. كَمَا أَن تَلَاهِ. And he says, just as being distracted while someone is speaking to you will create jafa, harshness or hard-heartedness. So Imam Sha'rani rahimahullah, he places this in a section called Husnul Istima'a, learning how to be good listeners. And if we, one of the problems deeply affecting our community is that we don't have that ability to listen to each other deeply and to be there for each other when we need just ears to listen to our problems and difficulties that we're going through. And this has a big effect on people's relationship with the deen, number one, and it has a big effect on our relationship with one another. One of the things we find about the Rasul ﷺ is this amazing ability to build presence and be present with whoever he was dealing with. This is, in my estimation, one of the mu'jiza of the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and one of the downfalls of our communities today. That when you're talking to someone, they're not there with you. They're somewhere else. And here's what we have to understand about giving people presents. And I want to take a look at this. I know we spoke about this once or twice before, but I want you to look at it from a different perspective. Our souls are eternal. Allah created the souls and there's no end to them. خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ أَوْ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا فِي النَّارِ نَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. The soul is eternal. Once it's created, it's eternal. So Isa, Victor's soul is eternal. Every one of our souls, Eunice's soul is eternal. My soul, it's forever. But here's the difficulty. This eternal soul has temporarily been placed in a realm that has something created by Allah called al-waqt, time. Time. Now this is interesting. This eternal soul, which doesn't know time, this eternal soul, which lives forever, it's placed in this realm that all of a sudden has limitations, time. Now what does that do to us? Well, for many of us, it rushes us. I gotta do this today, I gotta do that today, I gotta do this, I gotta do this, I gotta do that. And the problem is, we lose the ability to be present in the moment right here. See, okay, if I told you time is gone, where are you rushing to? That's why Jannah is so hard for us to understand, right? Like you'll be in Jannah forever, you're like, yo, what am I gonna do after like 30,000? Like, you know what I mean? Like after 30,000, like, what's next? Like, the whole concept of time, our whole brain is built on this concept of time. We can't even think without it. But the soul is created absent of that. The soul is independent of that. It doesn't operate on that scale, but temporarily insan has been placed in this realm that has something called al-waqt, and time is a creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the point is, if you had no time, how would you spend the moments in the present? Subhanallah. The only thing that takes you out of the presence is the fact that there's a stopwatch over your head. Ticking down. But in reality, there's no stopwatch because you're eternal. Him to Mawla. You know what I'm saying? So like right now, I'm with someone. My wife is talking to me. My daughter, 3 years old, is talking to me. I can either choose to be present with her, husn al-istima', be present and listen to every word. Or I can say, wait, I got things to do. I'm running out of time. Or I can realize there's one eternal soul talking to another eternal soul. What matters now is my presence with that other eternal soul. Ajib. Hear me out on that one more time. My daughter, that's the eternal soul. And I'm here, two eternal souls in this fake stopwatch by our side, telling us to hurry up. No need to hurry up. Only need is to be present in that moment and realize that that moment is all you truly have. This, wallahi, is a sign of nubuwwah. I'll give you an example. Adi ibn Hatib. I told you about him once or twice before, but this story is different. Adi ibn Hatib was the son of Hatim al-Ta'i. And Hatim al-Ta'i was the Bill Gates of the time. He was known for his wealth. Adi was his son. But when Islam started to spread, Adi ran off. Now, he's aristocrat. He's a child of the elite. And when Islam starts to spread, he's like, yo, I'm out of here. I'm not rolling with this. I'm out. And he runs. Some of his other sisters and brothers, they accept Islam. And the Prophet asks, Where's Adi? He's known. He's a well-known personality. And they're like, oh, he ran. He went up north to the Romans. He's out. So the Prophet used to constantly make dua, you know, hope he comes back one day. One day he shows up in Medina. The hadith says, Sahih Muslim and Bukhari, he comes with la iman, wala kitab. He has no visa and he has no like authority to be there. He just comes, like, I'm here. Everybody looks in, he walks in the masjid. Everybody looks like, yo, hada adi. They grab him up. Because he's kind of wanted. They bring him to the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Sallallahu Alaihi smiles. Now look what happens. It's so beautiful. Sallallahu Alaihi, he smiles. He stands up and he grabs his hand. And he's like, I prayed to Allah that your hand would be in my hand one day. I prayed to Allah that our hands would touch one day. And he's like, come with me. And he starts to walk with him to his house. Now, the Prophet ﷺ has one goal right now. What is it? What's his goal?
Bring her into the fold.
Yes? To bring him to Islam? To show him the beauty of the deen? To bring him into the fold of Islam? And he's like, ana ala deen. He's like, I'm a Christian, I got a deen. I'm good. I'm just coming because, you know, everybody told me you wanted to meet me. So, you know, what's up? I'm here to meet you. But I'm on a deen, ana ala deen. That's what he said. I'm on a deen. I'm good. So then, listen to this. He's walking with him home, hand to hand. And the hadith says, إِنَّهُ لَعَامِدٌ بِي إِلَيْهِ. He's taking me to his house. إِذْ لَقَيْتُهُ إِمْرَأَةٌ صَغِيرَةٌ كَبِيرَةٌ. All of a sudden, this old little lady استوقفته, stopped him. And she starts talking to him. فَوَقَفَ لَهَا طَوِيلًا تَكَلَّمُهُ فِي حَاجَتِهَا. Here he is with the son of Bill Gates, taking him home to give dawah to him. And this old, look at the hadith, إِمْرَأَةٌ صَغِيرَةٌ كَبِيرًا. Little old lady stops him. Hey boy, Muhammad, I gotta talk to you. Got some issues to handle here. And she probably has that old akhlaq too. You know, the older akhlaq. Y'all know what I'm talking about. It's a little different. Right, the older akhlaq is a little different. It's a little more like, because they've seen life, right? So she stops him. He's in the pathway with this aristocrat that I'm about to give dawah to. And she stops him. Now, me and you are like, yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. Adi, just give me 1 second, bro. I mean, like, but Adi says he stood there with her. So we, yes. Yes, ma'am. Yes, auntie. Uh-huh. Sure. Whatever. Yeah. Just imagine what's being said in that. To the point where Adi says, now listen to what Adi says. فَقُلْتُ فِي نَفْسِي وَاللَّهِ مَا هَذَا مَلِكِ هَذَا نُبُوَّةِ. He says, I swear by Allah. I said to myself, Wallahi, this isn't a king. This is a prophet of God. What did he see there? He saw a person's ability to be present with the people who are talking to them. And it proved to him that this man was a prophet of God. How powerful is it just to be present and listen to the people who are with you? But if you let that adab, that clock, make you rush through every moment, you'll never live life straight up. Just think about it. If every moment is rushing to the next moment, after 30 years, which of those 30 years did you actually live? Feel me on this for a moment. If for 30 years you're rushing from one stage to the next, and you never enjoyed a moment, what part of that 30 did you get? None of it. Sifa, nothing. Just because you want to be somewhere else. So the point that he says, let's go back to what he says. The right of one brother or sister on another sister or brother, that when they're speaking, like undivided attention to them, as if there's nothing else going on. And wallah, there's nothing more. There's no one that has haqq on you more than that person right there in front of you at that time. A text comes, that text, hukman, from a Sharia perspective, has no haqq on you. Do you know what I mean by that? Like, but what I mean by that is the haqq of the qareeb is above the haqq of the ba'id. The haqq of the close person is above the haqq of the far person. Right? So when I'm talking to someone and I hear a bing, and I go and check that, I'm bringing the haqq of someone above the haqq of the present person at the moment right there at that time. Unless you got to set a ringtone for your wife and you know it's her, then maybe, I don't know. My wife just gave me a look like, yeah, right. Nah, I think nowadays, like, we lose ability to be present when people think they can get into our time at any moment they want to. I know some people have jobs where it's like, yo, we need you on call. Cool, understood. But for the majority of us, like, why is it that every single human being thinks that they can reach out to you, and the moment they see red, they're going to get a response? The moment they checks turn blue, they're going to get a response. As if I'm doing nothing. Like, just think, as if my life, I'm sitting, are you busy right now? No, I just sit here all day and wait for you to message. Are you busy? No, I'm never busy. I literally sit here all day and wait for you to message me. SubhanAllah. Ajib. So the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is walking with Adi. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is walking with Adi. This lady stops him. He stands there with her. He listens to her. And Adi bin Hatim deduces from that type of listening that this is a prophet of God. Sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. So that's what Imam Sha'rani says for the 31st right. And then he says, being distracted while people talk to you, yurithu jaffa, creates jaffa, like harshness between us. Creates harshness between us. Right? So subhanAllah, this is the one of the signs that the Prophet that Adi saw, and he realized that just his ability, there was a few other things he realized, that this man wasn't a king, he was a prophet, but this was the first thing that he noticed, and it told him that, it gave him that sign. Okay, any questions on this? I know my wife had a question, but she left. Any other questions on this specific one? Allah give us tawfiq for this. Many times, so many people, they just need that, those ears. They just need that, someone to talk to. And we're just one thing to the next, such a rush that we don't give time to that person that's right there in front of us. And just understand, that's not the sifa of the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That's not the way the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam interacted with people. Tayyib, inshallah. Next one. So the next one, 32. We've studied over 31 different rites of brotherhood. And this can lead us to naturally inspect the relationships that we have. So Imam Sha'rani, he says, وَمِنْ حَقِّ الْأَخْ عَلَى الْأَخْ أَلَّا يَمْتَحِنَهُ وَمِنْ حَقِّ الْأَخْ عَلَى الْأَخْ أَلَّا يَمْتَحِنَهُ, that he doesn't imtihan him, he doesn't test his brotherhood. He doesn't. So subhanAllah, after explaining all these different rites, like we went through 30 different ones, and now you start to say, okay, let me see if this is a true brother right here. Let me see if this is a true sister right here. Imam Sha'rani says, it's the right that you don't try to. Because look what he says. Because فَإِنَّ الْإِمْتِحَانِ مِنْ جِنْسِ الْكَشْفِ الْعَوْرَةِ. Because testing is a way of exposing faults. Testing is a way of exposing faults. So he said, don't sit here and now, after learning all these hukuk of uhuwa, sit there and test each brother, because that's breaking one of the rights, which is to expose the faults of the brother. So don't test each other. Allah give us tawfiq. Okay, next one. 33. Sorry, guys. Okay. وَمِنْ حَقِّ الْأَخْ عَلَى الْأَخْ إِذَا رَعَاهُ فِي مَا لَا يَنْبَغِي أَنْ يَعْتَقِدَ أَنَّهُ تَابَ مِنْ وَقْتِهِ وَنَدِمَ فِي سَرِيرَتِهِ وَقَدْ كَانَ بَعْضُ الصَّلَفِ يَقُولُ إِنِّي لَأَسْتَحْيِ مِنَ اللَّهِ أَنْ أَقْتَعَ تَوْبَ عَنْ شَخْصٍ عَصَى رَبَّهُ بِحَضَرَتِهِ ثُمَّ تَوَارَ عَنِي بِجِدَى. The fact of the matter for this right is we don't know the state of anyone's heart. And the point of this next right is never to assume a state of anyone. So he says, one of the rights of one brother on another brother, for number 33, إِذَا رَآهُ, when you see that person engaged in مَا لَا يَنْبَغِي, something sinful, something they shouldn't be involved in, that أَنْ يَعْتَقِدَ, that in your heart and mind you believe, أَنَّهُ تَابَ مِنْ وَقْتِهِ صَعَبْ وَاللَّهِ. He says, believe in your heart that the person is doing tawbah. He says, one of the salaf used to say, let me give you an example. One of the salaf used to say, I am shamed before Allah that I closed the door of tawbah from my brother that I saw disobey Allah when they left, went behind the wall and came back. So what he's saying is, you see someone doing something, right? And the person gets up for a moment and goes and comes right back. Maybe goes to the bathroom, comes back. In that lahba, in that small lahba, is it possible that person's heart turned to Allah? Is it possible in that lahza the person said, Astaghfirullah, Ya Rab? Now you've cut off the door of Tawbah because you just saw them doing something that in your estimation was wrong. But you have no idea what's going on deep inside the heart of that person. So basically this one he's saying, أَيَعْتَقِدَ أَنَّهُ تَابْ, that anyone you've seen involved in something haram of your brothers and sisters, husna dhan is that you say, wallahi, he did tawbah. Within this time that I saw them in the last time, wallahi, he's clean. It's gone already. And subhanAllah, مِنْ قَتِ التَّوْبَ أَنْ أَحَدٍ مِنْ عَصَى رَعَى نَفْسَهُ خَيْرٍ. Here's the effect if you don't do that. He says, whoever doesn't open the door of tawbah to someone, to anyone, he always sees himself as better than other people. Look, he saw someone doing something, so now, in my mind, I'm better than that person because I've seen what they did. But if you open the door of tawbah, then that makes that nothing. That's gone now. So he says here, مَنْ قَطَعَ تَوْبَةً, whoever closes the door of tawbah to anyone, then this person, رَعَى نَفْسَهُ خَيْرًا مِنْهُ ضَرُورًا, he always sees himself as better than other people. وَكُلُّ مَنْ ذَنَّ خَيْرًا مِنْ أَحْدٍ مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فَجَاهِ الْمَقْتُورِ, and anyone who thinks they're better than the rest of the Muslimin is ignorant and deceived. And no matter what their state is, no matter what their level is. So this 33rd one is what? That leave the door of Tawbah open to every single person. Never ever close that door of Tawbah, even if it's for a second. You believe Allah knows best what happened in the heart of that person, and they got their relationship better with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fahimtum inshaAllah ta'ala? Questions inshaAllah on this one? Okay. Number 34. I'm sorry. Number 34 is a difficult one, wallah. Difficult. قال الله تعالى ولا تبطلوا صدقاتكم بالمن والأذى. قال الله تعالى لا تمنوا علي إسلامكم بل الله يمن عليكم أن هداكم للإيمان إن كنتم مؤمنين. Imam Sha'rani says number 34 is Alla yamunna alayhi bima fa'ala ma'ahu min al ma'aruf. That we never do al munna. What is munna? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a name al mannan, sah? Al mannan. And the idea here is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the true giver of blessings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the true giver of all blessings. Manna. All manna, all blessings come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And various hadith speak about one of the kaba'ir or major sins is manna. And what is manna? Reminding of favors that we've done to people. Reminding of favors that we've done to people. Various ahadith. In Sahih Muslim, I'll share one hadith, beautiful hadith, to understand the serious nature of al-man. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he says, there are three individuals, لا يكلمهم الله يوم القيامة, who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala won't look at on يوم القيامة, speak to them, ولا يزكيهم, and will not purify them. ولهم عذاب عليم. قال, he said this three times, over and over, for Abu Zar radiallahu anhu, he said, خَابُوا وَخَسَرُوا, these people are destroyed. Ya Rasulullah, tell us, who are they? Who are they? Then Rasulullah ﷺ said, المسبل المنان المنفق سلعته بالحلف الكاذب. Three people. Number one, the one who wears their clothes arrogantly. They take their clothing and how they dress as a means of pride or arrogance. Wear their pants are below their ankle in a way that is arrogant. So scholars speak about the hukam of wearing the pants below the ankles out of arrogance and things like that. There's different aqwal and sayings of the scholars on that issue. The idea is to be very arrogant in the way that they dress, number one. Number two, al-mannan, the one who reminds of favors that they've done. So they've given someone something, they've done something for someone, but they always remind that person, remember I did that for you? Did you forget I did that for you? And we'll talk more in detail about it. And the third one is the one who sells their merchandise بحلف الكاذب, with all types of lies, like wallahi, wallah, wallah, and he's lying about everything. Three people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So many scholars consider this to be one of the kaba'ir. So what is men? Men is that after you've given something to someone or done something for someone, to وَلَا تَمْنُن تَسْتَكْثِرْ, to remind that favor, hoping for some type of reciprocity. Thank you. Hoping for some type of reciprocity back from that. Hoping to get something back from that blessing that you've given. The reason why this is such a difficult one is because it's natural that when we do give someone and they show ingratitude to that, that we want to remind them that, don't you remember what I did? Don't you remember what I gave you? Don't you remember that thing that I did? So now here, Imam Ghazali rahimahullah ta'ala, he explains why al-man is so bad in reality. Listen closely to this. Imam Ghazali says that anytime someone is reminding a favor, verbally or physically, because there's ways to remind favors without saying a word. Just through how you act around the person, you can remind the person of a favor that you've done for them. So he says, أَصْلُهُ أَنْ يَرَى نَفْسَهُ مُحْسِنًا إِلَيْهِ وَمُنْعِنًا عَلَيْهِ. The root problem with the manan is that you actually think that you're the muhsin to that person and that you're the mun'im, the blesser of that person. And he says, وَحَقُّهُ, but what you really should realize is أَنْ يَرَى الْفَقِيرُ مُحْسِنًا إِلَيْهِ بِقُبُولِ حَقِّ الْعَمِنِ. He says, but the reality is you should actually think that the person who you're giving is doing ihsan upon you. How so? Someone explain that. That makes no sense. I just gave this person something. I just bought my, you know, I just did something for this person. And Imam Ghazali is saying that I should think he did a favor to me. How so? Okay.
Because of him, you get the opportunity to do good.
Yeah.
They might save you on your
own. So Imam Ghazali says the reason is this. All of these are correct, but what he says, his way of looking at it is this. He says, بِقُبُولِ حَقِّ لَا مِنْ, by him accepting the haqq of Allah from you, this person has been a means to purify you and help you get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If this person wasn't here to accept that from you and purify you from that wealth, or purify you and allow you to use that as a means to get close to Allah, then you wouldn't have that ability to get close to Allah except that this person accepts something from you. So this person has become a means by which you get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This person has become a means by which you get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So subhanAllah, he's saying, look at it completely the other way, which is when you're helping other people, and we spoke about this before, when you're helping brothers and sisters, it's like, no, I need you. I need someone to help. Because this is my wasila to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the fact of the matter is, and this comes in Surah Dahar, إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمُكُمْ لِوَجِهِ اللَّهِ لَا نُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءً وَلَا شُكُورًا. Clearly Allah says, these people feed other people, provide for them, and they say, إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمُكُمْ لِوَجِهِ اللَّهِ. Now here's another problem with the mannan. Brothers and sisters, we have to purify intentions. Whatever you give to people, whatever help you do to someone, we have to purify intentions. When you remind the person, it by default is negating the original intention. Because the original intention is, إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ. فضل. Come.
Yeah.
I got you, inshallah. Can you guys, he needs to go to the restroom. Okay. Sorry, man. So that's why Allah subhanahu, the ayah actually says, do not cancel out your righteous deeds by reminding the favor. So subhanAllah, you give something to someone, if your intention, if I give something to Victor, right? If I give something to Isa, right? Get this guy a new car, right? You already got a nice car. You rolled him, bro. You good. Okay, nicer car. I give this brother a car. You know what? He needs to get to work. You know what I mean? Convert, brother, you know? You know, we got to help each other out, you know? Alhamdulillah. My intention is for Allah. Intention is for Allah, right? I want hasanat. When I say it for Allah, I mean I want hasanat for it. I want hasanat. So that I can come on Yawm al-Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is like, yo, what you got for me? I'm like, yo, I bought this brother a car. For him. So that's for him, right? But, so that's my real intention. So that I can come on Yawm al-Qiyamah and claim the hasanat. But the moment I'm expecting something from this person back from that, now it becomes a type of reciprocity now. Let me do good to you, him now, so that when I need a ride, I'm like, yo, Isa, I need a ride. You busy? I know you ain't busy right now. I need a ride. And he's like, man, this brother bought me a car. He's asking me for a ride. Oh, you too busy? Oh, I see. Right? SubhanAllah. He's going to feel like he has to come pick me up. No, seriously speaking, like, realize that, and it's so hard because when you're giving, SubhanAllah, you see the person. You see the person. But just try to always remember, like, there's a hadith that says this, that when you put something in the hand of a person that needs something, it lands in the hand of Allah before it hits their hand. It lands in the hand of Allah before it hits the other person's hand. I'm not doing it for you. All joke, like, with all, like, not trying to be insensitive, but you're not really part of this equation here. Like, not trying to be insensitive. I see your need. But my real desire is because I know this will get me close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether you're thankful or not, إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمُكُمْ لِوَجِهِ اللَّهِ لَا نُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءً وَلَا شُكُورًا. I don't need a thank you. I don't need jazakallah. I'm good. But subhanAllah, just think about it. You give someone something and they don't even say thank you. What happens? Obviously, we're going to feel something. So some scholars, okay.
Thank you.
No problem. I got you. Some scholars. I didn't do it for you. Who are you? You're nothing. Get out of here. That's the extreme, obviously. We're not saying that, right? The people matter. But when the people don't thank you, you have to find a way to elevate yourself above the people. I'm going to say that again. The people matter. But when they don't respond to you the way you would hope to be responded to, or if you have a hope, a false expectation from the people, by having true hope in Allah, it allows you to elevate above that response that comes back from the people. Right? So again, al-man is one of the kaba'ir. And it's extremely dangerous in family relationships, husband and wife. Extremely dangerous. Extremely dangerous. Now, that doesn't negate the fact, brothers and sisters, of our haq to be grateful to people that bless us. The Rasul ﷺ, any blessing given, kafa'aha. Right? The sifa of the Rasul ﷺ, that any blessing he was given, yujallal, subhanAllah, the hadith says, the smallest blessing he was given by someone, yujalla. He'd make it a big deal. And anyone gave him something, right away, he's giving you something back to repay you for that. And then he said, if you can't do it, what is the least you do? Jazakallahu khair. Whoever does good to someone and the least they do is say jazakallah, they have repaid the person. Right? They've repaid them. So don't get me wrong. We're not negating the responsibility of the person that receives the blessing. What we're saying is that the giver needs to realize that as people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever I'm giving, knowledge, wealth, time, whatever I'm giving, you spend time with your wife, your mother, you'll say, well, I spent time with you last week. SubhanAllah. I gotta look. I spent time with you last week. Now, we start going through the list. I did this. I did this. You expect reward for that now. You expect a reward from her, and you expect reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which one is it? Now, we find this in the Quran. One example. Kulla tamannu alayya islamakum. This is interesting because my teacher used to say, sometimes we do manna to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like what? What do you mean? Our righteous deeds, we fall in the trap of considering that a favor to Allah. Like you go to the masjid for Fajr, you get a flat tire. Yo Allah, I was going to the masjid. So? wait, hold on. What's that statement mean? Ya Allah, I've been praying all my prayers. Why did this happen? Whoa, hold on. That's manna right there, brother. You know what I'm saying, right? So, kulla tamunnu alayya islamakum. Don't come and present your Islam as a manna upon the deen. And we do that with righteous deeds, guys. We do that. We're like, I'm doing a favor to the deen by being Muslim. No, you're not. I'm doing a favor. Kulla tamunnu alayya islam. Let me tell you how the background of this, and we'll end with this one, inshallah. But let me tell you the background of this verse. The verse says, يَمُنُّونَ عَلَيْكَ نَسْلَمُ. They come to you, O Prophet of Allah, and they remind you of the favor that they became Muslim. يَمُنُّونَ عَلَيْكَ نَسْلَمُ. They remind you that, oh, we became Muslim. Say to them, "Kul." This is at the end of Hujurat 17. "Kul لَا تَمُنُّوا عَلَيْكَ إِسْلَامَكُمْ." Say to them, don't remind me of the favor of Islam. Bel, what is the "Kul لَا تَمُنُّوا عَلَيْكَ إِسْلَامَكُمْ"? بَلِلَّهُ. What is it? بَلِلَّهُ يَمُنُّ عَلَيْكَ أَنْ هَدَاكُمْ لِلْإِيمَانِ. Rather, it's Allah who blessed you with iman, that He guided you. So don't get it twisted again. So what was happening in that was, the Prophet ﷺ, after Fatih Mecca, when wealth was coming in, he was giving out wealth to people to bring them into the deen and make them stronger. Some non-Muslims even, right? So then people, some of the people that had recently become Muslim, they would, you know, their boy would go, "Ya Rasulullah, he's a really good Muslim. Like, that, he's been Muslim for a long time." And the point was like, you know, can we get some of the money too? Like, you're giving to these people, hey, he's a really good Muslim, by the way. Right? I've been Muslim for a long time. Why? To get paid. They wanted to get something back for that. And this verse was revealed. Don't use your good deeds as an expectation to get something from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's done solely for the... In fact, first of all, it's His blessing on you, number one. And number two, you're doing it only for one reason, akhirah. Not to get some blessing here. For the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's the furthest extent where we start to manna on Allah. Like, oh Allah, I did this. Why is this happening to me? I've been good for so long. Why is... We say that, we hear that. I've been doing this for so long. Why is this happening to me? That's manan. You're reminding, first of all, you're reminding a blessing upon you. Something you did by His tawfiq. You're reminding it as if you did it for Him. When in fact, He did it for you. It's very dangerous. Very dangerous. So to bring it back down to the a communal level, there are some scholars that say in certain situations when there's kufran al ni'mah, ingratitude, it is okay to do men. I haven't read much of the details on the situations where that's justifiable, but some scholars say in situations where there is complete kufran al ni'mah, that you can remind in certain situations. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala know best. But it is a kabair. So something to definitely avoid, inshallah ta'ala. So let me just finish this, inshallah. He says, because in the dhikr al-ni'mah, in a time of argumentation, is a sign of lack of sincerity. And it shows that the base of it was rotten. The base reason why you did it was messed up. The base reason why you did it was messed up. So he says, in the tayyib al-asad, the one who does it for the right reason in the beginning, la yamunnu abadan. They never do remind the favor. Who did it for the right reason in the beginning? لا يمنو أبدا بما فعل مع أخيه من المعروف بل يرى الفضل. This is the main key. Rather, they see that the فضل لذلك الأخ, that person blessed me by allowing me to do that righteous deed for or to them, they blessed me. The blessing came from them. And he mentions the same hadith that I shared with you about how serious this sin is. So let's go through these one more time, inshallah ta'ala. Number 30 was, Munir, what was number 30? Right? Upon one brother on another.
You don't, or better translation, you can't eat or drink when your brother falls into some trial until Allah releases him from that difficulty.
Yeah, so the first one was what? The same way we respond to difficulties, we can't drink, we can't eat, we can't sleep when we're in a hardship, the same exact response for the brother or sister that's going through that hardship. Really put yourself in that hardship and feel the pain that they're going through. That was number one. Number two, number 31, I mean.
When you're being spoken to, you're fully focused on him until he's done speaking, because this will create love.
So number 32, husnul istima'a. Learning how to be very good listeners to each other. Wallahi, if we just try this for the next week until our next halaqa, that whoever's talking to you, like, give them everything you have of you. And watch the relationships that are built from that. Before we go forward, just think of it this way. The best thing that you can give any human being is this present moment. And the most disrespectful thing you can do is be physically present but tell the person, you don't deserve my presence. I'm with you now, but you don't deserve my presence. But the best gift I can give you, I have nothing else but my present moment. I'm here with you right now, brother. What's going on, bro? I'm here. What's going on? Nothing else matters but you. And subhanAllah, now, how does that connect us to Allah? You know, the best thing we can give Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is focus and prayer. That's presence. That's literally presence. So the best thing you can give people is presence. And the best thing you can give Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is your presence. And that's it. But we're that time is what's pushing us out of presence. I got stuff to do. I got stuff to do. Yo, you're eternal soul. You don't run on a clock. You were created for abadan. And what are you rushing for? You know what I'm saying? You can die at whatever age was maktub anyway. What are you rushing to, yo? Literally, what are you rushing to? SubhanAllah. Okay, so ability to be present. We gave the example of who? The Rasul Sallallahu with the older, elderly woman who just stopped him. And he dropped everything to be present with her in that moment for as long as she wanted. SubhanAllah, we don't know how long she was in there talking to him. Right? You know what I mean? Like, oh, SubhanAllah. Ajib, SubhanAllah. Number 32.
You don't test him to see if he's a true brother?
SubhanAllah. Reading all of these adabul ukhuwa, we start to test each other. Like, yo, let me see, is this a true brother? No. Because al-imtihan nu' min kashfil awra. Imtihan is a type of revealing faults and shortcomings. And that goes back to another. We don't reveal shortcomings. So no imtihan of these rights. Alright? Number 33.
When you see him doing something that doesn't fit him, believe in your heart that he made tawbah and
that. Oh, subhanAllah. That opens the door for people to remain, for you to always look up to people. That opens the door for you to always look up to people and realize that at any moment they could have been turned back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And last but not least, I believe?
Yeah, that we don't remind them of our favors.
We don't remind of favors, al-mannan. Remember, the opposite. How do we fight that? You have to truly understand that the one who accepts a gift from you, number one, is doing a fadl, a ni'mah to you. Because they become an opportunity for you to please Allah. So they've become a means for you. I'm grateful to you for you allowing me to get close to Allah through you. And then remember the other hadith. That when you put something in the hand of someone that needs anything, not money, not food, anything, it hits the hands of Allah before it hits their hand. So literally, like, if you can, subhanAllah, brothers and sisters, if you could like picture that, you know what I'm saying? Like when you're giving something, you're like, yo, Allah. Right? That's it, right? Sanka, oh, you're there? Oh, Sanka, it's like, boom. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? Like, realize that I gave that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you became the means for me to do that. You became my door for khayr. Allah give us tawfiq. Is that the last one?
That's it.
So, inshallah. Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah. We're getting close to the end of these. I'm not doing all 60. We've done about 34 now, right? Inshallah. So, we're getting closer to the end, inshallah. Allah give us tawfiq to build the brotherhood between us and sisterhood between us, inshallah. and act upon what we learned today, inshallah ta'ala. May Allah accept from us, inshallah. We'll pray Salatul Isha. Well, we after Salatul Isha, as you guys know, we just normally sit for like 4 minutes. Remember Allah, make dua, whatever you want to do, just for 4 minutes to contemplate over what we studied, what we learned, you know. So we'll pray Salatul Isha right now, inshallah ta'ala. وآخر دعوانا عن الحمد لله رب العالمين. السلام عليكم.